About coming persecution now. Jesus gave a limited commission in the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 14. We have Jesus sent them out. He gives them power over demon spirits and over sicknesses and everything, and they go out and they heal. Now, Jesus, we know, had the power to heal, didn't he? And to raise the dead and all this. And that was a messianic credential. But he is so powerful, being the God of heaven, that he could give his powers. He could transfer his powers to someone else. And by the Holy Spirit, they could raise the dead, heal the blind, or he'd heal the blind. That was messianic credential only. But they could heal the lepers. They could raise the dead. And all the things that Elijah and Elisha did in the Old Testament and Moses, all of these, he was able to do all of this. Now we're going to, and he tells them to go into the land. He tells them not to take not a penny with them, not a dollar, and not any gold. You don't need it. He said, I'm going to take care of you just like I took care of Israel in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their underclothes didn't get dirty. Their clothes didn't wear out. And he said, don't worry about taking extra underclothes or anything else. I'm going to provide for you. And I'm going to provide for your every need and your food and your drink and a place to sleep. And if you go to a place where they will not listen to you. Now, the Jews hated the Gentiles with a passion. They were so so violently prejudiced that they did not want a Gentile to come into their home at all, because dust off the Gentile might land in their dwelling. Now, these apostles are going into Jewish cities. They're going to the Jews only. And they're going into the Jewish cities, and those that will accept them, you go in there, if they're worthy, you come under their home, you eat at their table, you sleep in their beds, and you drink their wine. And if they hear your words, you bless that house. But if you go into a Jewish home or come to a Jewish village or town, and they will not hear you, they refuse to hear you, I want you to treat them like Gentile dogs. I want you to stomp the dust off of your feet that clings to you, and to show them, and they were very prejudiced. These were people with prejudice, but now Jesus is showing them that they are not worthy. The very dust from their homes, from their villages, is not worthy to cling to the apostles of God. So that is very important. Those who will not hear. Now we're going to talk about coming persecution. Now he's going to tell them that from now on, now, this was a limited commission. They went out on a limited commission. Now, the Great Commission we have in Matthew, the 28th chapter, and Acts, the 1st chapter. We have that Great Commission. And during that Great Commission, there is going to be violence. There will be violence. There will be violence. Violence in Hebrew is Hamas. Remember the group over there in Palestine, Hamas? Their name means violence. Their very name means violence. Amen lego himen anek ko teron este gay sodomon kai gomoron en hemera chrysios a te pole ekene. Truly, or amen, that little particle of affirmation, page 8 in the analytical Greek lexicon, amen. Amen comes all the way from the Persian language. It was amen in the Persian language, and then it goes into Hebrew, and it's amen. And it comes into Hebrew, and it's amen. And it comes into English, it's amen. In many languages, is it amen in Spanish also? Amen, amen. It means truly, most affirmatively, and what it really means, that I will stand by it, I will support it. When Moses came down off of Mount Sinai, he would read the law to them, and they were supposed to say, amen, we believe it, we will support it, we will do it. That's what amen meant. And so and they would say amen, and many times Jesus would say amen, amen. And right here, he uses this particle of affirmation to tell them truly, most affirmatively, absolutely, I say to you, lego himen, I say to you all, anek torion, more tolerable, it shall become for itself, for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. Now looky here, over to the map. Now James, there, James Little in Texas, you now have a map to look and study these on. Over here, it said in the day of judgment. Now right here, we're living in the church age, right here. At the end of the church age, we have the rapture. We have tribulation period coming upon the nation of Israel to bring them back to God. And then we have a 1,000-year reign of Christ. At the end of all of that, we have what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And Jesus is saying to these people that will not hear, it will be more tolerable during this Great White Throne Judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah, because they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the apostles. They didn't have, and they didn't see the fulfillment of God's word. They did not see the kingdom of God come among them as Jesus told them to preach. Preach the kingdom of God. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. It shall be more tolerable. Now, you are judged and shall be judged by what light you have, what information you have. Those that have very little information will be judged very little because they don't have the information. But those that heard Jesus' words and heard the apostles' words, it shall be there shall be no tolerance for them in that great white throne judgment. And they judgment more than in the city this. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment because they did not see the miracles that Jesus did, nor the miracles that his disciples did. It'll be more tolerable for Nineveh, more tolerable for all of those wicked cities than it will be for those that saw the face of the king. Verse number 16. Edu ego apostolo, himas hos probata en meso lucon, geneste un fron nimoi hos hoi afes kai acerioi hos he paris tere. Behold, he says, I send out with authority. That word apostolo there, it comes from apo and stelo, and it means to send out with divine or what we might call kingly or regent authority. I send you out with great authority, as sheep, probata, as sheep. Now, Marilyn, you raised a lot of sheep in your life. Mm-hmm. And the sheep are innocent, aren't they?
They sure are.
They're just innocent. They're like little children always. Mm-hmm. They're innocent. And sheep are, their skin is so tender. You can just tear their skin. And a wolf or a coyote or a dog can just rip a sheep apart easily because it's so fragile, so fragile. He said, I am sending you as sheep, probata, among the middle of lucon. Lucon is wolves. Wolves. Wolves are stealthy. Wolves hunt in packs. Satan has been trying to destroy God's promises and God's eternal purpose ever since he rebelled against God. And he tries to destroy God's people the best way that he can, the most insidious way that he can. Wolves. You can go on National Geographic Channel, on the History Channel, if you have television, which we don't. But you can do that. And you can watch wolves hunt. And they'll tell you how wolves hunt. And before they reintroduce the buffalo wolf, the Shukamiata Tonka, in Lakota language, back into the areas, that's the wolf that follows the buffalo herds. It's a big wolf. Big wolf, 150, 250 pounds, 300 pounds sometimes. Big wolves. They're powerful. Now, a big wolf like that can take down a buffalo. It can take down an elk. It can take down an antelope. It can take down anything it wants to with numbers. They will have ways that they hunt. They will go out and they will get one wolf will go into one older buffalo or sick buffalo, and it will go in there and it'll bite at it, and the buffalo will charge and charge and charge, and it'll go around. All the time, the other wolves are sitting around outside, just watching at a distance. And when the animal gets tired defending itself, then here they come. And then it is easy prey. And that's what Satan does to God's people and God's churches, like that. And Jesus is telling this limited commission, these apostles, the time is coming when I've taken care of you now. You've gone out on a limited commission. You go out, I'm providing for you like I provided for the children of Israel for that 40 years. But time is coming when you will be like sheep in the middle of a wolf pack. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. What happened to the Apostle Paul? He had his head chopped off. What happened to Peter? He was crucified upside down. What happened to Stephen? He was stoned. What happened to James? What happened to all of these disciples? All of them except John. And John had his feet dipped in boiling oil. But he lived. He lived to be very old. But he was persecuted also. Like sheep among a wolf pack. Ye become therefore. Now we have a word here, phronemoi. That means carnally wise. This means have a lot of horse sense. This word phrein here means horse sense. Phrein, horse sense, phronemoi. Be carnally wise as the ones serpents. Ophes, serpents. And harmless, akerori, as the ones doves. A dove can't hurt you much, can it? It's a little gentle animal that is prey to everything. Now, some of our doves got loose that we raised here. They're like a Eurasian dove, a large turtle dove. And they get out among the wild beasts, the wild birds. Now the cats try to catch them. The hawks try to catch them. A hawk will take one and fly. Even a small hawk will fly and knock a dove out of the air and sit there and pull all of its feathers out. You'll see a bunch of feathers, and they'll just slowly eat that dove while it is beginning, when it's still alive. It has no way to defend itself. It has no way to defend itself. You're going to be among serpents. You're going to be among wolves. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be prey to the whole world. Now the word phronemoi there, it comes from the Greek word phrein. Now, the word phrein means carnal intellect, the horse sense, like a wild Mustang. I used to tell Brother Madden, I said, you got more horse sense, more common sense than a herd of wild Mustangs, because I used to gather up Mustangs Mustangs are really smart. Marilyn, you've learned a lot about wild Mustangs, haven't you, since you've been hanging around me? Because I go up there where they are, and I watch them, and I can tell you what they're going to do before they do it, can't I, Marilyn? Because I know how they do. You come up to a Mustang herd of about 10 or 15 big herds, maybe 20 something. We've seen up to 30 horses in a herd. You got a strong stallion when you got 30 horses. Now, in the movies, the stallion will take off and run and lead the herd off, won't he? In the movies. But what happens, Marilyn, when you see a wild herd of Mustangs? What's the stallion do, the stud?
The stallion will run.
The stallion will drive the mares, and the oldest mares will lead the herd off. Horse sense. And that stallion will stay behind and he will paw the air and snort and stamp his feet and get down and roll in dirt and stand up to fight. That's why buffalo do the same thing. Buffalo will roll in dirt before they're going to fight.
Why?
They'll roll in dirt.
Why?
I think to absorb the sweat and whatever. And when they bite them, if they bite them, then you're biting dirt. They'll roll in that dirt, and you've seen that happen many times, Marilyn. I have got it on video. They'll run down there, run out in front of you, challenge you, roll in the dirt, and stand there until the herd is out of sight and safe, and then they'll take off. And they'll turn around and charge you again. On one video I have up there, the wild Mustangs in Fish Lake Valley, I got out. And this was up by Grefco Mine, Highway 6 and 264, right there. And I saw a herd of wild Mustangs, about 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And I said on the camera, I was taking a picture of them, and they were way far off. Now I said, if we were a little closer to this herd, the stallions would probably charge us. And about that time, the stallions drove the herd away, and here came three stallions charging at us. Just like that. And here they came, boy, pawing the air and snorting in the air. Just like I said. And you can see that on sermon audio if you go into the Wild Mustang DTW updates. That word train there, that means horse sense. That means carnal intellect. That means survival. Now, if you go to the word noose, Nene, Omicron, Epsilon, Sigma, or N-O-U-S, that means faculty of perception. That means to judge by feeling and conscience. That word nous. Ephesians 4, 18 and 19 is where it explains it. And the word nomein. Nome. That's gamma, no, omicron, mem, and eta. Or mu and eta. I get my Greek and Hebrew mixed up sometimes. That means the nome, that means that's where we get our word gnosko from. The capacity of judgment as far as conduct is determined. The object determines the thought. In nous, the opinion determines the way of thinking. But in nome, it is judgment as far as conduct is determined. The other is mind, and this is conduct. Now the word boule. Boule, bulamai. This word here means will or counsel or volition. Spiritual activating force from the dark side or the good side. Here we have God's eternal purpose, God's eternal plans, his counsel. And then we have the word frain, which we have discussed before. And then we have this word Sophia. 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 The word Sophia means the ability to use all of the faculties of the mind to bring out the good. Ace agathon, like James 1 and 5. The ability to adapt physically. Physical means to bring about righteous results. That word Sophia. And we have a girl by the name of Sophia, don't we? Mm-hmm. Then we have the word thelematos. Thelematos, that means spiritual activating force. In Ephesians, the first chapter. Now let's go on verse number 17. prosekete de apoton anthropon, para dosusen, gar himas eis synadria, kai antes synagoges, auton masti go sarusen himas. And furthermore, you beware, you know beforehand. That's what word there, prosekete. It means to understand this, to grasp this beforehand. To grasp, it comes from pros and echo, to grasp. You grasp this beforehand from the men. They shall hand you over. They shall betray you. They shall hand you over unto the Sanhedrin, the local courts. Anybody that they can get to destroy you, that's the idea. And in the synagogues, the Sanhedrin, every Jewish city had a synagogue, and they also had a local court. They're going to hand you over to the local court. Who's he talking about here? Those Jews that will not accept the word of God. These local synagogues belonging to them, and they shall masticate you. What does the word masticate mean? Masticate. Masticate. Marilyn, what's that word masticate?
Gorge you. It says here.
Well, masticate means to chew up.
Okay.
It means to chew up. Now, the word here means to scourge or to whip. But the whip that it's talking about here is a cat of nine tails that has sharp objects of metal in it, like they whipped Jesus with, like they whipped Paul with. It shall cut and chew your back up and your sides and your chest and your face. It will rip you to pieces. They shall masticate you. We get a word masticate right out of this, chew you up. And one of those whips will chew you up. Verse number 18, Kai epi hemer hegemenos de kai basileis ox theiseste enekin emo eis maturion autois kai tois ethnesin. And before leaders, look at that word leaders. That's magistrates, leaders. And also kings, basileus, kings, ye shall be led for the sake of me unto a witness to them and to the nations, to the heathen nations, to the dogs. Now, the gospel will go to the dogs in most places rather than the people of Israel because they would not hear him. Verse number 19, Hotan de paradosen, himas me meremenaiste, pos a ti lalesete, dothesete, kai argar himen en ekine te hora ti lalesete. Now, this is what's going to happen now. Jesus is telling them what's going to happen during the church, early church age, before they had the word of God. Now he tells them this. When Peter, when James and John and Paul went before magistrates, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God what to say. The very words that would come out of their mouth were inspired of God. But when ye may be handed over, you all, not ye may be worried or anxious, don't be divided in mind. Mary Meneste. Don't worry about anything. Or how or what you may say. It shall be given, for it shall be given to you in that very hour what you may say. What you may say. And the word say there means say in human language. You may say. Ugar hames este, hoi lalontes, ala to numa tu patros, heman ta lalon en heman, For not ye are the ones speaking, but the Spirit of the Father in you, the one speaking in you. Now let's go back and let me read this to you from the Amplified Bible, from verse 15 through 20. Truly I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town where they would go during that limited commission, and where the Apostle Paul would go. These towns where they hear the word of God, where they see the miracles of God, are absolutely paramountly responsible for what they have heard and what they have seen. Lo, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wary and wise as serpents, and be innocent and harmless and guileless and without falsity and without protection as a dove. Be on guard against the men whose way of nature is to act in opposition to God, for they will deliver you up to councils. They will flog you and chew you up in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, and for a witness to bear testimony before them and to the Gentiles, the godless nations. But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about what you are going to say or speak. For what you are to say will be given to you in that very hour and that very moment. For it is not you who are speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking and through and by the agency of you. Let's go on a little bit further, verse number 21. And we see this. Paradose de Adelphos. Adelphon eis thanaton. Kai pater technon, kai epanaste sonte, techna epi gones, kai thanatosusen autus. Moreover, on top of all of this, that little weak adversity conjunction in our day, he shall hand over brother. A brother shall hand over a brother for the purpose of murder and death. A brother will hand a brother over to have him murdered. He shall be slain. And father, a child. The word technos there, technon, comes from, it's accusative singular neuter, by the way. That is a, what we call a live birth. Technot, we get the word technot technically. A father, a child. Now, of course, in America today and across the world in many places, they're killing infants when they're in their mother's womb. That's what we call abortion. That's murder. They're slaughtering them. Father against child, and they shall stand up against children, against parents. The children, when a parent gets born again, their children will stand against them. They shall berate and insult them. And they shall put you to death. They shall put you to death. 22. Kai esseste misomenoi hippo panton dieto onoma mu. Ho de hippo monas, eis tilos, hutos, so thesite. And ye shall be, being hated, causing to be hated. And this hate will last through all the ages, by all men, because of the name of me. I guarantee you, you go into a Muslim world today, any place in the Muslim world, any Muslim nation, and you speak of the name of Jesus as the Son of God, and you shall die. That is a shirk. A shirk is an unpardonable sin. And you will die because of the name of me. There is some Christian dying in the world, someplace, every day, because of the name of Christ. But the one having endured unto the end, this one he shall be saved. What does that in the world does that mean? Now, a lot of people don't believe in security of the believer. They say, well, if you remain faithful to God unto the end, then you're going to be saved. If you don't, you won't be saved. What's it talking about here? The word sozo means your life shall be saved or the soul shall be saved. We're not talking about souls here. We're talking about lives. If you make it through all of this alive, you'll be alive. John did, but not without persecution. Mary lived for a long time. She was died and was buried in Ephesus, where John watched over as his own mother. And he was that pastor there in Ephesus for many, many years, until he was 130-something years old, they say. Verse number 23. Hotan de doikosin, himas an te pole, taute figete, eis tain heteron aman, amen, gar lego himen u me, teleste tas poles, tu Israel, hios on elte ho hios tu anthropu. But when they shall run you down, that word diokusin, this is like a wolf smells the track of a bleeding prey, a wounded prey. This is like a hound dog trailing a raccoon or a bobcat or a lion or a bear, to smell and to chase the smell down till you find it. Now, I used to, a long time ago, a lifetime ago, 50 years ago, I used to be a coon hunter and a lion hunter and bear hunter and wild hogs and all that. And we had dogs, I had dogs that were trained. One of my best dog was called Sooner. He was a walker in black and tan cross. And he had a real cold nose, is what was said. I hunted with a man by the name of James Van Hoosen. He was one of the greatest woodsmen I ever saw. And we'd go hunting together. And he had one dog with a real cold nose, and I had one dog with a real cold nose. His dog was named Brown Dog. He was an old plot hound. And Sooner and Brown Dog hunted together because they could smell better than all the rest of them. And you'd hear them go out there, and you'd hear them go, "Barrr!" When they crossed the track, you'd hear them do that. They'd bawl. And they'd look and go around, and they'd smell that track again. And they'd "Barrr!" like that. They'd hit that trail. And then when they got closer and the trail got hotter, they'd go, "Roar," just like that, just howling all the way. And then when they had it treed, they'd go, "Rop, rop, 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 rop," but "bow, bow, wow, 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 wow," right at the tree, just chopping, what they call chopping. Real sharp barking. They shall run you down like a hound. They shall hound you in the city, this. He said, you flee and you run away unto the another city, a different place. Truly, for truly I say to you, know not ye may complete to the end of the cities of Israel until may come the Son of Mankind. Now, what it's talking about here is that they will see the Son of Man, Jesus, standing in all of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Before they ever reach all of the cities of Israel, they will see the Son of Man standing in his glory in that transfiguration. And then they will see the Son of Man in all of his glory when he sends the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, on that church that was supposed to remain there at Jerusalem. And they shall see the tongues of fire like the Shekinah glory that stood over the Ark of the Covenant there. And that's what happened. The Ark of the Covenant was a very immediate presence of God. It represented the immediate presence of God. It was wood, a wooden chest covered with gold. Jesus was human, but he was divine. And above that is two angels, cherubims, actually, not angels, but cherubims in the order of angels. They have wings. The cherubims have wings, and they're going to stand there with their wings over it as two witnesses to everything that took place. There are two angels that witness your birth and your conception. There are two angels that witness your death, and there are two angels that witness when you become a believer of God. And there are two angels that lead you into glory at the point of your death, if you're a child of God. There are angels of some sort or spirits of some sort that lead those that are lost into the regions of the unknown, Hades, until they are resurrected and they're judged in that last day. All of this tabernacle stood for Jesus Christ. Everything in it stood for Jesus Christ. And everything in that tabernacle also stands for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ inside. You have the Lord's Supper. You have the altar of incense, prayer in God's churches, and you'll have the light of the Holy Spirit leading those churches. And this is the type of heaven. This is what they call the holy place, the Koron. But this over here is the Holy of Holies. Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. That's a type of heaven itself. But in this world today, we have a church carrying out the will of God's kingdom today. We have that church carrying out the will of God's kingdom. Do you have any questions? Any questions? Well, we'll quit right on verse number 23, and we'll start on verse number 24. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out for you, for your honor, for your glory. And I pray that for those that hear your word, that you'll touch their hearts. And whatever needs they may have, you'll do it for encouragement, going through hard times, at the end of their life, having people watch after them, and barely struggling to go and to do anything. But their spirit is free to hear your word. I pray for them. I pray for those that are working out in hard workplaces. I pray for those that are sick and ill and disabled. Father, I pray that you see to all their needs. I pray for those that may be going through marital problems, through conflict with their families. I pray that you hold them up. We've read your words where things like this would happen. Husbands will hate wives. Wives will hate husbands. Children will despise their parents. And parents will despise their children because of your word. Father, forgive me where I failed you. And we send this word out. These words as a witness to the world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.